Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
So, I've been starting out each of these messages in this sermon series with a little bit of history of some more formal Christmas songs. This morning, I want to start out with a little bit of history of a more fun, childlike song. The song is Jingle Bells, a song that clearly was not written with South Texas winters in mind. Because the song is filled with images of both snow and sleigh rides. But what you may not know is that when the song was originally written, it was not written with Christmas in mind. Rather, it was written with Thanksgiving in mind. The song was originally written by James Lord Pierpont in the year 1857. And for Pierpont, those images of riding sleighs in the snow, it was connected simply to the excitement of the cold winter months in the northeastern United States, especially for him around the time of Thanksgiving. It was only years later that the song's lively melody and festive feel connected it to Christmas, and I'm sure many of the kids are glad that it did, because what would Christmas be without the song Jingle Bells? So this morning, we are wrapping up our Advent series titled Christmas Playlist, and as we've been going through this series, not only have we been looking at some history of some well-known Christmas songs, but we've also been looking at Scripture, and we've been looking at some songs or near songs that we see that surround Christ's birth. And the tagline for this series has been songs worth holding on to, because as we look at these songs, we've seen songs that contain rich truths, that these truths are worth carrying with us all year long. And that's really my prayer for us, that we wouldn't let this Christmas season come and go without grabbing hold of these truths. Because I think it's far too easy for us to become distracted by the Christmas hubbub. I think it's far too easy for us to become distracted by the presents under the tree, or maybe even all of the gatherings that we attend this time of year. And before we know it, we've missed the most important thing of all. We've missed Jesus. So let me encourage you this Christmas season, don't miss Jesus. Don't miss these reminders that God became flesh and He came into this world that He might go to the cross to be our Savior. This Christmas, don't miss Jesus. And my hope is that by looking back at some of these songs that we've been able to focus our hearts on Jesus once again this Christmas season. Now, as we think about that song, Jingle Bells, a song that has become well-known for Christmas, but was originally intended to be a song surrounding the holiday of Thanksgiving, I'm reminded that really all of these passages that we've looked at so far, while they do tell us the story of Christ's birth, they're also birthed out of a heart of thankfulness. They're birthed out of a heart of thanksgiving. And so today, even though we're almost a month past Thanksgiving, let me encourage you, let your heart be filled with thanks once again. As we reflect together on the coming Messiah, as we reflect on all of the benefits that are afforded to us through Christ because He came all those years ago, let your heart be filled with thanks once again. These songs that we've looked at so far, they've been birthed out of that heart of thanksgiving. The song that we look at this morning is going to be no different. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 25 through 35 this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Now, at tonight's candlelight service, we're going to focus more specifically on Christ's birth. But this morning, the passage that we're going to look at actually is just after Christ's birth. It's a few days after Christ was born. So just before our passage this morning, what we see in verses 21 through 24 is that Mary and Joseph were taking their newborn baby, taking the newborn Jesus to be circumcised. And this was to fulfill the law that God had given to the people of Israel at that time. And while this seems maybe somewhat informational, it's a reminder to us that Jesus would be the one who would not break the law at any point. Rather, he would be the one that would come and would fulfill the law even through his parents as a baby. He would uphold all of the law, something that you and I cannot say for ourselves. Understand, as humans, we are all lawbreakers. Whether we like that title or not, even if we stumble at just one point, we are guilty of breaking the law. We are all lawbreakers. So when I was growing up, I had perfect attendance. I never missed going to school, especially because my parents were school teachers. I never missed going to school. And so I had perfect attendance every year. Freshman year, at the end of the school year, when we had our awards assembly, I was the only one called up for that perfect attendance award. Sophomore year came around. Once again, I'm the only one called up for the perfect attendance award. Junior year came around. You see where this is going. I was the only one called up for that perfect attendance award. I was set to have perfect attendance by my senior year all through high school. Now, I don't know what they would have done for me to celebrate, but I'd like to think it would have been something similar to what they did for the volleyball girls here in this town. That there would be a parade through town heralding my greatness. Unfortunately, that day never came. I didn't get that parade because my senior year, we lived out in a more rural area outside of town, maybe like where some of you might live. And so we were used to having wildlife out close to our house. And we also didn't have central air. We had window units in every room of the house. And so one night, as I was sleeping with the window unit blowing into my room, a skunk sprayed outside of my room. Now, it was a smell that I was used to. I didn't like the smell, but I was used to the smell. And so when I woke up the next day, I didn't think much of it. I've smelled skunks before, so I got up, got dressed, and I went to school. And when I got to school, a teacher, I ran into her in the hallway, and she said, "Do you smell a skunk?" And I said, "That's funny, because a skunk sprayed outside of my house last night, too." Right over my head. Right? She said, "I think it's you." Well, I didn't know what to do. I had to get to class, and I don't miss school, right? And so I went to my first class, and in that class, through the whole period, we had block scheduling. Our classes were an hour and a half long. In that class, for an hour and a half, all of the students complained about how awful the smell was in the classroom. Now, thankfully, that teacher did not know it was me, and we were right next to the chemistry class, and so she thought maybe an experiment had gone bad, and so she blamed the smell on the chemistry class, and I certainly was not fessing up, right? But as soon as that class was over, I went straight to my car, I went home, I got a bottle of ketchup, and I got in the shower. And I showered until the hot water ran out. Then I got dressed again in different clothes, and I went back to school. Now, because of the block scheduling, I only missed lunch and one class period. But missing that one class period was enough to tarnish my perfect attendance record. Now listen, you may be here today and you may fully be aware of your sin. But you may think, you know what, I'm really not that bad. I've done enough good things to outweigh the bad things so that I can go to heaven. But here's the deal. Apart from Christ, lawbreakers don't get into heaven. And even if we stumble at just one point, even if we sin just a little bit, breaking God's law just a little bit, lying, stealing, cheating, envying, that makes us a lawbreaker. And we don't get into heaven. We're all lawbreakers. But the good news is Jesus isn't. From the time that he was born until the time of his crucifixion, Jesus upheld the entire law, meaning that he is our perfect and unblemished sacrifice. And so the good news is that even though we are lawbreakers, because Jesus isn't, we can come to Jesus with our sin. We can come to Jesus with our broken laws, and we can be forgiven. So leading up to our passage, Jesus, at only 8 days old, we have this reminder, because his parents took him to be circumcised, we have this reminder that Jesus upheld all of the law. And so here Jesus is being taken to get circumcised, and this is where we pick up in our passage this morning, Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. It says, "There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, 'Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel.' His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, 'Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" Now, as we look at this passage, there are a couple of things that I want to highlight for you. In verse 25, we're introduced to a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. And Simeon, in many ways, was like everyone else in the people of Israel. He, like the Jews, had been waiting for Israel's consolation, meaning that he had been waiting for Israel's comfort. In other words, Simeon, like the rest of Israel, had been waiting for the Messiah to come to bring both peace and comfort for God's people. Remember, Christ's coming was not unexpected. Christ's coming was long expected. From the time that God established his covenant with Abraham, God's people were looking for the one who ultimately would fulfill this promise and these prophecies, the one who would come to be our ultimate comfort. Christ's coming was not unexpected. Christ's coming was long expected. And so Simeon, like the rest of God's people, waited. But I want you to understand, while Israel waited, and while Simeon waited to be able to experience God's comfort through the Messiah, you and I don't have to wait. We are not waiting for the Messiah to be born. We are not waiting for the prophecies to be fulfilled. Rather, our Messiah has already come. The prophecies that we read in Scripture have already been fulfilled, and they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. you and I don't have to wait. And because we don't have to wait, what this means is that today we can experience God's comfort and peace in the midst of this broken world. We can experience His comfort and peace in the midst of tragedy. We can experience His comfort and peace when we step out into the unknown. We can experience His comfort and peace in our difficulties. And even in persecution, we can experience His comfort and peace. Most importantly, as we recognize the war that wages inside of us, the war that causes us to sin and to live a life estranged from God, we are able to experience His comfort and peace as we are reconciled to God through Jesus. The people of Israel had to wait. Simeon had to wait for this comfort and peace, but you and I don't have to. And if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, then I would simply ask you this morning, what are you waiting for? So in many ways, Simeon was like everyone else, but in some ways, Simeon was different, because we're told in verse 25 that Simeon was righteous and devout. Now, let me tell you what this does not mean before I tell you what it does mean. What this does not mean is that Simeon was perfect. What this does not mean is that Simeon was without sin. Just as we've already said, we are all lawbreakers, Simeon included. Simeon needed a Savior just like everyone else. So it doesn't mean that Simeon was perfect, but what it does mean is that Simeon walked with the Lord. Simeon knew God, and he strived to live his life in obedience to God. It doesn't mean he was perfect, but it means that he walked with the Lord, and as a result, his life reflected his walk with the Lord. So let me ask you this morning, are you walking with the Lord? Have you surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? And are you living your life in such a way to bring glory and honor to the one who has saved you? Are you walking with the Lord? If not, then let me just say, there's no better time than this Christmas season to begin that walk with the Lord. So Simeon walked with the Lord, and as a result, the Holy Spirit led him to go to the temple where Jesus was going to be circumcised. And when he went in and when he saw Jesus, he took Jesus up in his arms and he began to sing this song. He began to praise God. And with this short song, with this short burst of praise, there are two truths that I want us to walk away with today. The first truth I want us to walk away with is that Jesus is our salvation. Let's look at verses 29 through 30 again. Simeon said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Jesus is our salvation. So you've probably heard the term bucket list before. It's a term that's been around for longer than this movie, but it was really popularized by the 2004 movie by the same name, Bucket List. And so a bucket list has become known as a list of things that you want to be able to accomplish before you die. Maybe it's going to a foreign country. Maybe it's going to see some famous monument. Maybe it's to do something thrill-seeking like going skydiving or bungee jumping. Those things certainly are not on my bucket list, for I fear that they would cause me to kick the bucket. But I'm a little more simple. I really only had one thing on my bucket list. It may sound silly, but the only thing on my bucket list was to learn how to tie a bow tie. Because think about it, if you've ever watched movies or a TV show, in these movies and TV shows, they make tying a bow tie seem really difficult. Nobody ever seems to know how to tie a tie or a bow tie, in these movies. And so I wanted to learn how to tie a bow tie. And I can happily report to you that I have learned how to tie a bow tie so I can die in peace. All right, now I hope that time's not coming anytime soon, but nonetheless, I have completed my bucket list. Now, I was told after the first service I need to add some more things to my bucket list, but we'll see. Now, Simeon starts off his song of praise by saying, "You can dismiss your servant in peace," meaning when Simeon died, he could die in peace. Simeon didn't have a bucket list so much as he had a promise. Simeon had a promise from God that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. In other words, Simeon had a promise that one day he was going to see the one who had been chosen to be the Savior of mankind, that he was going to see the Messiah in the flesh. And so while Simeon and the people of Israel waited for the Messiah to come, Simeon was also waiting for this specific promise to him to be fulfilled. And so when he finally laid eyes on Jesus, Simeon knew that this was the fulfillment of that promise. And so he knew he could finally die at peace because he had seen Jesus, because he had seen the Messiah. So let me pause right here and ask, knowing that Simeon had met his Savior, have you met your Savior? Now, while we're not able to walk into the room and see our Savior in the flesh, we are able to open up the Scriptures and see our Savior in God's Word, the one who not only has been born, but the one who went to the cross to die for our sins and rose again victoriously. And by trusting in the promise of those Scriptures, we are able to know Jesus personally today. So like Simeon, have you met your Savior? If you haven't, then I would invite you to meet him today. And let me just tell you, when you know Jesus, when you know your Savior, you realize that you have everything that you need to be able to die at peace. You won't have to go visit a foreign country or see a monument or do some thrill-seeking thing. Those are all fine if you want to do them, but you won't need them in order to die at peace. Because you know Jesus, because you've met your Savior, you have everything you need to be able to die at peace. But let me take it a step further and say this. You also have everything you need to be able to live at peace. You see, Jesus is not only our peace at death, Jesus is our peace in life. He's our peace in the good times, and he's our peace in the more difficult times. He's our peace for today, for tomorrow, and for all eternity. Jesus is not only our peace at death, Jesus is our peace in life, and he is our peace in death and in life because he is our salvation. So the first thing I want you to walk away with is that Jesus is our salvation. The second and final thing that I want us to walk away with this morning is that Jesus is God's revelation. So look at verses 31 through 32 again. Simeon said, "You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." Jesus is God's revelation. So Ethan and I, we enjoy watching game shows together. Ethan is my game show buddy. Earlier this year, there was a new game show that came out titled Deal or No Deal Island. It's kind of a combination between Deal or No Deal and Survivor. And in this Deal or No Deal Island, just like the regular Deal or No Deal, there's a banker. And the banker is not someone that you see. You only hear from him through phone calls. But towards the end of the season, they began to tease that they were going to reveal who the banker was. And so there was all of this buildup, all of this anticipation. Who was the banker going to be? Who was the one making the calls? Who was the man behind the curtain? Who was the banker? And so there was all of this anticipation until finally the banker revealed himself. Now, I'm not going to spoil the show for you if you want to go back and watch it, so I'm not going to tell you who the banker was, all right? But leading up to Christ's birth, there was all of this anticipation, all of this buildup. When would the Messiah come? Who would the Messiah be? And what Simeon's song reminds us of is that Jesus' birth was God's revelation of the Messiah to mankind. And when God revealed the Messiah, God revealed the Messiah to be himself. God had become flesh that he might save us. Now we're told that Jesus was the glory to the people of Israel and the light of revelation to the Gentiles. The word Gentiles, it refers to non-Jewish people. In the context of our passage, the word that's used there really refers to all nations. It refers to all people. And so Christ's birth is a reminder that God revealed himself not just for one group of people, but God revealed himself for all people. In other words, Jesus didn't just come for the Jews. Jesus came for all of us. And let me make that more personal this morning. Jesus came for you. Amen. Jesus came to be God's revelation and God's salvation for you. You only need to receive him. Jesus came for you. And so with this revelation, because Jesus came for you, there's also an invitation. It is an invitation not only to see Jesus in the scriptures, but it's an invitation to know Jesus as Lord. And it's an invitation that I want to extend to you this morning. So in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing, this is going to be your opportunity to respond to this invitation this morning. And if you're here today and you would say, I've never put my hope, I've never put my trust or my faith in Jesus Christ, I've never surrendered to him as Lord, now let me just say, there's no better time to do it than this Christmas season. You can respond to Jesus and know Jesus today. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already. He is the Lord of my life, but I've never taken that next step to publicly profess Christ through baptism. It's something we believe that God has called every single believer to do. And so if you've never taken that next step of baptism, but you're ready to make that commitment this morning, then I'd love to talk with you as well. You can come and we can talk and we can pray together this morning. Maybe you're here, though, and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've already been baptized by immersion. I believe God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers right here in Stockdale. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you, respond obediently. Stand with me right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.